Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast. We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC here. We're back with a fellow co-host and featured speaker, Leslie Madewell. How's it going today?
It's going, man. I'm glad to be here. Glad to see your face and hear your voice. And you're always doing stuff, and I'm glad I can help when I can, man. Definitely like the topic you picked, too.
True, we have a good topic in store. So, further ado, Leslie comes us today on name alone. So how they know about you, where you come from, what you do, where they can find you.
Well, I am a photographer / podcast host and writer. You can find me on all social medias and you can see my lovely face. Look up Leslie Madewell on any platform other than Snapchat. And you can find me there doing what I do, which is not anything important, except when I'm on the podcast with you talking about cool anime stuff. That's when my life's good.
Okay. So I give him an escape. I like escapism. It can work in this case. So, further ado, today's episode is going to be the general representation in Asian culture and anime as in general. So, gender representation. You liked it. What resonated you with this topic?
Well, it's just the genders in all animes are, I feel like they have like their own purposes. There's a lot that goes in with all that, and I'm rambling, but genders in anime are always like concrete, basically. But there are some characters that they can kind of like have like the non-binary to them, but for the most part, the gender roles in anime, the characters are right off the get-go, you know who they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, which gender do you belong to?
I don't know. Which one do I belong to?
Well, you can be cisgender, which is basically just male at birth. If you want to identify as that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so he's a cisgender. I'm as well. There's some other people who might be female, cisgender. But you know what? We'll go with that for another day.
So, yeah.
Gender representation in Asian culture and anime as a whole is interesting for the simple fact of where the conservative values come. So, in their conservative world, you have a norm to the crowd, playing along that route, don't stand out. But it goes a little bit more than that. It has a masculine-esque feeling. It's very straight line, either unisex or masculine as a general thing. Would you say that's enough, or you have more supporting details?
Were you talking about the male characters you're talking about in anime?
Yeah, society, conservatism, and all that.
Well, Japan as a whole is still considered more masculine society for most of their history, but I feel like in the recent years that's been coming around that they're kind of becoming more of an equal type of society where they aren't viewing women as, you know, subservient, so to speak, if that makes any sense, that they're letting them be more and more freedoms, even though I don't think women ever not have freedom, but they're not looked down upon if they want to have their own careers and stuff like that.
Yeah. There have been some civil rights going on with that, some movement in that sector, I would say. And in that sector is promoting change in a really positive light and gives more definition to what gender roles in society can be explained as. I still feel like some countries are still catching up to what gender roles should be, what should be the representation of that as an example.
Well, I mean, just in anime in general, if you look at some of the ones that I like Robotech and Fist of the North Star, like the men in there were doing all the fighting and they're very very masculine. They had bulging muscles and they're always ripped and tall and look like menacing, and they look like an ultimate man's man. Like everybody looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone or Lou Ferrigno. Like they look like Hulks. And then the females were like, slender, and they had, I think you said like an hourglass type of shape to them, and the men were all the way always doing the one that's fighting, and the females were more of like damsel in distress kind of thing.
Yeah, that's very reminiscent of the 90s, specifically as a culture, when it's more action packed, it was more geared to a male audience, to the male character as a gaze. And then the women were more supporting characters.
Exactly. And nowadays, like, women are main characters in their own anime series, and they are badass, in their own way, I believe in traditional, like, general, they have, like, their traditional places, but I also feel like that does not define male or a female, Like, yes, like, a man's supposed to go out there and he's supposed to be the protector, he's supposed to be the hunter, he's supposed to do fighting. Women are more, taking care of the kids and, take care of the household, stuff like that, but that does not mean that those roles can't be switched,
Oh, true. I also like the female character breaking that role. You don't want help from men, and has that, like, stubborn attitude of I'm gonna help myself mentality.
Well, yeah, that is fine. I get that, but everybody needs help. You don't do anything on your own. You have someone doing something for you to help you with. Even if it's something mundane that just helping you with chores around a house, or this for you to talk to, so you're not left alone.
And it's interesting because either role is interchangeable, but typically what people don't realize is the fact there is no stereotypical portrayal of a character. It's just how that character is written to be portrayed to the audience. In entertainment, they tell a story and they portray a character in a certain way, how the writer envisions them, not only as the character, but how people will perceive them based on tropes, based on archetypes, based on the personality, based on the type of person they are.
Yeah, like I said, it's good to have that their characters come out. And we were talking about females, and they did a lot of fan service with them, so to speak. It's what they always seem like they're being in a role with. But I also see some of the, in more modern times, the more male characters are kind of seen as having fan service for them too, being like sexualized or whatever as well. So it is kind of going both ways now, which is okay in my book.
Well, that's because of the different portrayals of the audience wanting different content. The main demographics that the anime world has portray is a female audience. You have like the shonen, which is young audience with males, usually typically 10 to 15. Shoujo, which is also the equivalent of female audience in some range. Yusei, which is a different genre. But then you get into shonen and Baishonen. Those are more mature and they get into other categories from there. So in the main demographics, you have a change in how it's being generalized and being marketed. You find the audience, you typically find the tropes with that genre. And the age demographic genres really do tell the story in the general rules and the general representation.
Yeah, everybody has their own thing that they like, you know what I mean? So there is those different tropes of being out there, whether you have the pretty boy anime character or like the over-sexualized drawn female character, you know, that has like a very non-existent outfit on most of the time.
Yes. And sometimes an unproportionate body aspects. So it's interesting because of the fact that's some of the portrayal of people's generalization of women in that representation. Typically, the representation of men is somewhat different. Some are the protective, but some are oblivious, like to romance. Not knowing two women's feelings is pretty good, for example. As so, they might only see them as a friend, but the show puts tension in there as a love interest, or they try to get their attention and it fails.
Yeah, that's like one of the main things you have is like a female character will like one of their male character or coworkers or, you know, clan members or friends or whatever. And the male character is just not reciprocating that, but he's also not being mean. He's just like, hey, you're my friend and I like hanging out with you, doing all the other stuff. And he's just oblivious, which I mean, sometimes in real life, us guys, me included, we are kind of oblivious to a lot of things, you know, so to speak. That makes sense. I don't, you might be just hanging out with people and they like you or whatever. I know I've felt victim to that a couple times. I had no idea. It is kind of like, yes, it's kind of funny, but also there's some truth in that too, you know?
True. So you are more oblivious and I'm less oblivious. Okay, we kind of established that.
Yeah. We established that you're smarter and you can see things or whatever, but also it's just like maybe if the character, he's not looking to like as every person or friend as someone he's trying to be romantically with. He just liked having them as a friend, you know what I mean? And that's not saying that they don't want to reciprocate it, but they're not like just looking at them to have a romantic relationship with, you know? They're just like, hey, you know what, you're a cool person, I like hanging around with you, I need you in my life, you know, whether it's, you know, just being a friend and having you by my side or, you know, a romantic thing, you know?
All right. So how would you say in photography, for example, how would someone strike a certain emotion to be pixelated in the image? How does that occur?
Meaning, like, how would they be in photography? How would they be portrayed in anime?
No, just portraying an emotion, but in a still image. It's not moving, it's still.
I mean, it's a lot of things to get an emotion out of. It can just be, mainly, it'd probably be with the eyes, because people talk with their eyes, they can strike a pose or whatever, but you talk with your eyes. They can look sad, they can look happy, they can like, you know, give you like the flirtatious eyes. Also like the movement of the mouth, you know, they can be smiling, they can look shy, they can look angry, they can look like they're pissed off, they can look like they want to fucking kill you. The eyes and the mouth is where you kind of see a lot of that in, you know, it's body language, but it's facial expressions that really make image for photography come out, you know, that's where it comes out, and it's the expression, because you're gonna have a character come out and have like banging body and have, you know, physical attribute that you like, but if they have no expression at all, they're just like a doll, you know? There's nothing to them.
And in the portrayal of gender representation, certain emotions are highlighted based on the gender. So, for example, bravery, obliviousness, unaware is more like a gender set with men.
Mm-hmm.
Females have that independent strike for power, affectionate, and also
strong will
emotion. Yeah, strong will as a determining factor in their character. So when they portray these characters, certain patterns start to form into what we call a gender dissociative behavior. So there's certain behaviors that each gender has that anime does really well to capture in that way, just like photography with emotions. What are specific things you see that are those particular attributes to the genders?
Now, we'll start off with male characters. Usually the male character, and when it comes to, like, you know, action animes, or they want to train hard, they want to, you know, be the best, and they just continuously push themselves to be better, you know, so to speak. You know, and then they're always trying to be, you know, get their muscle mass and everything. They're pushing themselves to be stronger, to be the very best. Women, on the other hand, they, you know, sometimes they make them where, you know, they think about falling in love, but then they also, in order to do that, they have to, you know, be book smart or train themselves to be more physically active or stuff like that. I'm trying my best to come across it. I feel like I'm not making a point, but I'm trying. I have my word, but it's not coming out the best way, and I apologize for that. I'm trying.
Well, basically, male characters have that confidence about themselves. That's one thing that they do really well. They self-motivate. They can determine to go to a goal and achieve it.
Yes.
Women in the particular gender representation is
a lot of self-doubt.
They have a goal to achieve, but they plan it out. They're very meticulous. They'll let it slowly develop instead of the male being more quick to gain it if they see the opportunity.
Yeah,
and to wait, they'll actually have a planned depth to them. And typically, in the female portrayal in gender representation, they kind of exploit that a little bit more of, like, the intelligent aspect versus the brawn versus brains, as like a parallel between the two different genders.
Yes, you explained it a lot better than what I was trying to come up with. That's basically what I was trying to say. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And with that parallel, where do you think that actually, and the aspect of, like, Asian society in gender representation, where do you think that comes from?
So you're talking about in Asian cultures themselves, like where these attributes for male and female characters are?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand the question.
Yeah, you're understanding where, and specifically in the norms and the nuances of Asian as a culture, whether these exemplify in gender representation.
Well, I mean, since anime is mainly from Japan, Japan has always had warriors, you know, and mainly men. You had the samurai, and I think even before then, you had always had the emperors and different royal families all fighting. Mm-hmm. And you only hear about men fighting, and women were used mainly for you know, they were used for prostitutes and being assassins because they were a little bit smarter.
Technically, the term is concubines, being levels, and all that stuff.
Yeah, and they were used to be... They were used as spies. Sometimes I think they're even used as assassins because they were, like you said, they were in it for the long run. You know, they knew how to wait. And as with the guys, they just wanted to grab a sword and go fight. You know, and I think that's what kept on for a long time.
It was also the women being easy access to a social circle. Getting access was easier than, say, the opposite when it came to gender representation.
You're right. It's a lot easier for a woman to walk up to a group of men, and the men would just be like, whatever. If a man walked into a group of other men that he had no idea who they were, they didn't know, they would be very off-putting and be very guarded. And if a woman came in the same way, the men would just be like, all right, whatever. You know, they didn't even mind. Now, also the same way, if there's a man walking up to a group of women, the women will probably be on guard. But if another woman came out to a group of women, the women would probably be so, like, hesitant to engage with them in a conversation or something like that.
Yeah. And that also, conversational is an aspect that's applied in both genders, but in a different way. The ability to carry a conversation is represented in both gender stereotypes. But it's depending on how that conversation goes. Male-dominated conversation, at least in Asian culture, is about the norm, how their day was. It's the day-to-day things. An aspect in women's conversation, as a feminine side to it, is what they're doing in weeks from now. What they did a couple months ago, and it's brought up in this conversation. But they also have I remember this. I had this as an example when I did this trip, had this creative set, and got inspired to have this as a means to achieve this goal. That's how they come off. So, future coding is very much a conversation that comes up a lot in how men and women differ in the conversational related conversations. As well as a masculine conversation would be like our equivalent of sports. Is also their equivalent could be their work. Work in Asian society for men particularly has been the one thing that they have in their life. Most of the time, if they don't have work, there's not much else to fill the time except for family and doing day-to-day stuff. But work is such a heavy aspect put on the man as much. And you kind of forget, you just absorb yourself into the work society.
And I'm sure that even goes on into the modern day still, too. I always hear about, like, the Japanese businessmen working long hours and, you know, not seeing their family all the time because they're just always trying to get a deal or work in the office, meet with clients, do whatever. That is something that, even to this day, is still like a big trope that is always brought up into everything.
Yes. But in the long hours, go home, support for the family. That's still representative of most cultures, but specifically in Asia, it's to simplify that men are the breadwinners. They need to provide. They have that responsibility because they can work more strenuous jobs, labor intensive, deal with a lot more instead of being able to do the work. Women are showing that as well, but they also have such an attitude to socializing, multitasking, attentiveness, also being able to adapt to a situation maybe the other sex might not be able to do. That's how that can be applied. And it does vice versa, how men can apply to this, but women might be able to do it. They're not typically known for it, do it.
Yeah, I mean, we're still talking about, going back to anime, you see a lot of male characters, they go charging into a fight really like head first without even thinking, you know? And then the women are more like, they have like kind of supportive roles. The men going in there and gets him to battle and he just gets his ass kicked, or he wins the fight, it's all beat up. But then you show the women nursing the male, their male counterparts back to health a lot, or have healing magic if they're dealing with magic in it, or
that, no, that's the main kind of like, the support role.
But that's also not a bad thing to say that them supporting it, just, you know, that's something that is not, shouldn't be looked down upon as like a bad thing, you know?
What's that necessarily bad? It's just in that way, that story was told in that way, traditional setting. Now, if you reverse it, let's say you have the female lead, maybe not a fighter, but definitely like a singing aspect. How does that change the dynamic of action and some mage and all that stuff, adventure?
Well, if you have in an anime, in a female character is the strongest character in that, and she's fighting, you know, she can be fighting up against the bad guys, happen to be male, and they can underestimate her, you know, because she's a woman. They don't think she's able to fight them. But then it turns out that this chick is a really badass fighter and just whips ass and wipes the floor at these people. But they looked at her and in their mind, they're just like, yo, she's not going to be nothing to worry about. And it just turns out that she's just a badass fighter and warrior, whether it's magic or just wipes the mat with them. Makes them look like they're amateurs.
Oh yeah, that's in the action setting. And in the school setting, it's kind of interesting because they take on all the extracurricular activities, the leadership roles. The women, like the girl characters in this case, the high schools, they like to be involved. They like to be the social aspect of the circle, or they get into a quality of leadership or extracurricular activity where they shine very much so. For example, you know, you got the baseball team, typically a men's sport. The women do try to be in that team. It's just, you don't see a lot of stories about it. But they typically want to, instead of joining baseball, they might join the singing, the acting, the theater, the other aspects that they might be more interested in. Like Clown is a perfect example of them starting a club and acting it out at one shot, and theater as a basis for extracurricular that's just different.
Well, when we're talking about like a slice of life or a coming of age story.
Yeah.
Every time you see like a high school, usually I've always seen more of the female characters being in the lead role. They're like the school or class president. They're the class representative or leading things for when they make the festivals and stuff like that. They're organizing things, and the guys are just like, yeah, we're here, and they just do stupid stuff to help out, you know. But it's really the women that are putting in the thought and effort in all the time to make whatever project or club or something that they're doing. They put in the time and effort to make it good.
Well, so, I get the feeling that if they were having a soccer match, that you would be the school mascot. You would literally dress up and wah, 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 ah, and be cheering for the opposite team.
I mean, maybe sometimes. I probably would.
You probably say, "Oh, the visitor is what I cheer for," but you then you have everyone do it. The home team. Yeah, I can see that. I will probably be the one recording the game, so I'll have a face, a close up of you at like food.
That would be the hey. You know what? I make sure I get some good. Good footage for you. I got you.
And you don't even know you're giving it to me.
I'd be like, you're my boy.
That's like the different aspects of that. You got the sports that the males can relate to, but there's also, you know, not joining any particular activities. There's also another stereotype that's often portrayed in the school setting. It's interesting because typically, if they don't have much of a friendship with the other people their age in their parent group, they just tend to be themselves, or they get motivation to join with the support of another care. And it can be male or female because it both happens. That new spark of a new meeting, quote unquote, is that establishment of, I have been missing out on this extracurricular, but I could have been doing the entire time. So they form that bond to go the next step, to do the activity that they didn't do before.
Yeah. You know, we were talking a lot about gender roles in anime, and something that hadn't been brought up yet is why it seems like women are more sexually objectified than males are.
That's the female gaze. It's an entire archetype in media study. Typically, the female gaze attracts more viewership, both from the male side and the female side. Men look at the woman as a traditional, you know, interest, while the women also look at the other woman as portray other representation in the gender in that way.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it from photography aspect, is which has more women look at other women for, you know, when in some kind of fashionable outfit or whatever, and men just look at women because, you know, we look at women and like every woman is just good looking or whatever. And that is why you have a lot more, like when it comes to clothing, and there's more, I think it's probably like 10 to every one or two male models out there, you know, just because the female is more appealing to both sexes or genders or however you want to like say it.
Well, it's also the diversity of clothing that the females tend to use. The more expressive, more vibrant, more different styles. Typically, men usually have a coat layover with the shirt, long sleeve, short sleeve, jeans, pants.
Yeah, and that's
shorts, it. Shorts, the swim shorts.
And that's it.
Like, yeah, it's a very simple look. But
the thing
with men, they have one accessory and it can totally change the entire theme of it. That's the thing. Women have a lot of accessories, but men only need one accessory to really stand out.
Yeah, like we talk about the females when it comes to their fashion and what their outfit they have. Skirt, shorts, pants, you know, they have heels.
Dress shirt.
Yeah, heels, jackets, belts, you know, depending on how they want to wear their hair. They want to have it tied up, they want it pigtailed, they want to wear a bandana, they want to curl it up, sometimes their makeup, sometimes to go to the necklace, their backpacks, their purses, you know, they have so much more, you know, things they can accessorize with or use, and that's why I feel like that also helps having a more of a universal appeal to both genders as well.
Yes. And the thing with men, a simple change. So like, say they have a button shirt. Well, if they take two or three buttons off, it changes the appeal. They open up the neck a little bit more. It actually has a different feel. Women do the same thing, and they have, you know, that same quality as well, but they can loosen up more and actually have more of a less of a rigid character. Like the traditional uniform is literally shirt, tie, pants for men. Women have the pants as well. Below the knee skirt and blouses that go with it. But they also have ribbons to their hair. But also, there's like that rule that you can't necessarily change the uniform. The people that do change the uniform are the outcasts or the ones that are not necessarily the ones that should do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then don't forget the hair. A feminine hairstyle is totally different than a men's hairstyle.
Yeah.
Because men don't have
men's hair.
It's more simple. But a men's hairstyle that can get away with facial hair, afterburns, mustache, also slick out, straight down. And then the characters we do see with long hair in the men in Asian culture, that's usually tied back. It's usually of an honor or a reason to it to symbolize something else. They're growing their hair out for a particular reason.
The man bun.
That too. But typically, longer hair in men was seen as honor, value, vigor, all that stuff. It was a scene of power. That you had a status quo to uplift yourself, and that part of that hair was also the warrior aspect.
Yeah, and then the ladies, they just change their hairstyle however they want to do it, you know? For their own freedom or how they're feeling or whatever. Men kind of keep their hair simple, and that's how they always have their hair. Women always be changing up their look just because, you know, they want to, basically.
Yes. And because they have the ability to do so, because they can be very expressive. Now, the level of expressiveness might be simple fact, but the more sublime characteristics of a man. Man don't have much of that. You know, they don't have the long hair. They don't have they have a more muscular body tone, smaller frame sometimes, but it's because of the actual physical body differences is why women are more expressive, why they have more to offer. That's why men had to work a lot harder to have the traditional type feeling. And we compare more large scale than the women. And that aspect, basically, if you look average as a man, your looks are acceptable. If you look average as a woman, you don't really gain much because you're just like everyone else. But men, that's okay.
Yeah, and for women, that's not okay. Yeah, That's another thing you'll see in anime. That women are always going into like some kind of beauty contest or whatever. You don't see many for the guys, just mainly for women characters in anime shows.
True, and the one I liked that actually reversed that tradition was Hawaiian Host Club. That was a really interesting spin on the reverse of the stereotype.
That's one of those, you know, we were talking about how you know, the interesting, if I remember that host club, they were trying to protect one of their members that was passing off as a guy, but was really a girl. And
yes,
that is most of the plot to that show for the most part. And it was just kind of cool how, you know, yeah, she was a woman, but like all these guys were trying to protect her secret because they were just friends with her. You know, that's exactly what they were going into. I'm sorry?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it goes to show that just because, like, there's a female that they're close with doesn't mean that it has to be romantic. They're just there to, you know, she's like, hey, I don't want to be found out, so they protected her. I forgot what the reason was. It's been a while since I've seen that, but I
remember. Well, the direct reason was she got their own scholarship. So it was a private school. And the only way she could get in was through academic prowess. So through our academic scholarship, she was able to have everything waived tuition. And she got into the host club, she broke a vase, and now they basically made her be a servant at the restaurant to pay it back. She didn't have the money to pay it at the time. It's like 1 million or something.
And the host club was to like always host the people, you know, the like friends, yep, or classmates or whatever. And I remember some of the female classmates or whatever in her school always wanted them to be her attendant or host at their call. And I know that's like the big thing. It's been a while since I've seen that, but that kind of message with the whole gender roles, like, another anime I brought up to you was called Rama and a Half. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yeah, Rama and a Half was great.
It was funny, and it was one character, so when she jumped into, like, the different waters or whatever, she went from male to a female, and she had to deal with just the craziness of, like, when she was the female version of themselves, that the male people that she interacted with that were rivaled with her male self was just kind of weird. And yes, it was a lot of going back and forth, a lot of funniness, and you know, they hailed that was pretty funny too. It just kind of showed the breadth difference of if you're portraying yourself as a male, then you portray yourself as a female, how you get treated, how you get looked at. And, you know, how just your gender changes things in a relationship you have with a person.
True. And also, Cat Baskets is also a great example, too.
I don't think I've seen that one, so I wouldn't know.
Okay, so Cat Baskets is like similar in the same similar genre as Host Club, but those zodiacs. So she goes to a member of the house, and apparently she's opposite gender. And if they touch or get, like, I have to, if the female kisses a male character of the Zodiac family, then they turn to the Zodiac sign. And it's based on the Chinese Zodiac.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's kind of like, there's the twist of the female lead character with the male lead character, and they're, like, living together. And the different Zodiac members also having it done by the opposite gender role as well. And more frankly, there was a female Zodiac member, and when she got hugged or kissed by a male human, that same thing happened to her. She'll turn into an representation. So that's important to keep note up too. That's kind of what you were adding a little bit.
Yeah. And something that we were talking about earlier that I'm thinking about bringing up is, like I said, back in the 80s and the 90s, the male characters were sure to be these like buffed out dudes, and then the women were more of like damsels in distress. But then I think in the 2000s, they decided to try to mix it up. We started bringing in these pretty boy anime type male characters. You know, they're not as muscular. They're just kind of like tall, less facial hair.
Slender build, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very slender build. They not like any kind of muscle to them. And they always usually have long hair. I call them like the emo characters because they're supposed to be the pretty boy. You know, like Todoroki from My Hero Academia or I'm thinking of Naruto. He was part, not the hell is that guy's name? One of his main. Yeah, Sasuke. He was also kind of like that type of character, or maybe Genos from One Punch Man. He kind of had like this. What? Genos? I love the guy, but he, you know, definitely has like a. He's the pretty boy anime type, but he's known as like the blonde, pretty cyborg or whatever. That started becoming a thing, and then they began making like the female characters not lose their female form, but like kind of give them more like, you know, Amazonians type physique, like, or Wonder Woman type physique. They're like more like chiseled or whatever. I feel like that started becoming like a thing too, kind of like switching it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And that transition is also reflective of the decade, society accepting more, where gender is not necessarily cut in stone.
Yeah,
it's more the determination of the writer, how they interpret the gender roles in their system and intellectual property, how they write. And with that modern change, then you have a totally new market of the body shonen being as multiple as it is, with men having the feminine characteristics, also having a, say, attractiveness to it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm for the characters or whatever, but they're not bad. Like I said, they do it, and it's just kind of like they're always, to me, I just call them the emo character. You know, they're a little like all about their emotions and like they're I just call them little emo boys.
I see. And you know that trend was established in some properties early on, like '80s and '90s, but it didn't really catch on until the 2000s.
Definitely did not go off until the 2000s. That's when it really started hitting the mainstream. So you're right about that.
I guess Leslie has been eyeing the men's physique and different changes in the media. Now he likes that body show.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not. If I can show it to you, I'm a big fan of Todoroki. I actually I did a great photo shoot with a. She's actually a female, but she really pulled off Todoroki really good. I was just like, wow, like not a bad looking dude, but gendered Ben from a chick. She did a really good job, and I thought it was really good.
And gendered Ben typically does really well in the cosplay scene because different portrayals of a character is exemplified in personality. So if your personality is to deliver the character, then by all means, do it.
Yeah, she really did pull out that character, had the personality for it as well. We even did another shoot with the same model being Kirishima, who is my favorite character from My Hero Academia. And, you know, when as it calls itself, Red Riot was in his gear. She had the wig on, and you know, his little outfit that he had, the little like spike things that he get, and she pulled that off pretty cool too. I think it was a little harder for her to do it just because he's more of a like more a masculine character, but she pulled it off. As in Todoroki, he's very like. Kind of mysterious and very emo and like into his emotions or whatever. But it was kind of cool seeing her pull that off. But yeah, that's something that's been going on, as I feel, is that they are showing that character types are not one-dimensional. There's more to them than just, you know.
Interesting you say that. I think you can really pull off a bodysuit.
Me?
Yeah.
Why are we focusing on me? Bodysuit? What bodysuit?
I don't know. A bodysuit. Either leather or maybe a tight forming material for you.
Oh, yeah. So I just think you have like a fantasy of me being in a Gimp outfit for some reason. I don't get this infatuation you have with that.
No, I don't have a infatuation with it. That's just a random thought I just had. The talk.
Obviously, you've been thinking about it, okay?
No, I have not. It just came to my mind.
And, you know, I just want to put you in a leprechaun outfit and give you a pot of gold, all right?
I'm not short.
I didn't say you're short, but you're red hair, so just, you know.
I have red facial hair. I'm a blonde. There is no blonde leprechaun. It's all red hair.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you put a hat on, just show off your red beard, and you can go be the Mad Sweeney, you know?
Uh-huh. I see. You know what? Forget the bodysuit. You're from the 80s with the body pumps.
Yes.
Exactly.
We'll do that.
You'll be like the disco. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would. Except I'll have to go with the thick sideburns, because I don't think it'd ever, like, grow out my hair, like, to...
No, you just need a big old boots with a big...
Oh, yeah, dude, I want to get the mutt chop, like, sideburns, you know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. And then you're just dancing in your old flashy outfit with sparkles and have the big afro going on. Like afro,
I couldn't pull off an afro now with this hair, man.
don't need it. Just go ahead. It's called a wig. We totally make you a different character with the shade.
All
right, and everything.
A little off topic. But all actuality, it is really cool that anime has evolved over the years. You know, not every manly character has to be super macho, and not every female character has to be damsel in distress or can't, you know, defend herself type of thing. I am glad that it has matured and modernized over the past probably like 20 years, giving us new and better characters.
Well, and also the nuances of challenging the gender representation also been reflected on society as become more open in times of years past. It's an opportunity where now more stuff is being published that would not have been published back then. So it's important to know what is the change in society, how is society changing in a way to create that gender representation to put into the show IP, as well as the culture itself, the cultural changing, being more tolerant, being more adaptive.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that anime is keeping up with the times, you know, how things are changing and stuff. They've managed to kind of keep up with societal changes, and they can continue to stay fresh, you know. They keep having new ideas.
Yeah.
With gender roles and just in general, I feel like they stay fresh.
It's no longer the men's... What's that fresh spray mouth and they're mint and they're good to go at the dancing. Now it's like, I throw the shoulder overlap and go to the dance floor and have some fun and not be with anyone else but myself.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, like I said, anime has come a long way with their gender roles and gender mixing it up, you know, for all sorts of characters, so.
And I think Leslie has mixed it up pretty well. What do you think?
What do I think? I Think of what?
I don't know. Have you been mixed up lately?
No, not at all.
Mixed up at work? Getting so tired that you like, that stunningly drunk feeling like you did in another episode?
I mean, I'm always, you know, feeling like that just because that's what I do. I've actually been, life's been pretty good, work-wise, you know, something didn't happen the way I wanted to, but you know what, not a big deal. I'm still working, still making the money, and I feel like the opportunity is going to come back around to me, so I'm not even upset about it, you know, just trying to look at the positive stuff, you know?
Is this an opportunity to deal with you in your gender role, or is it something else?
It had nothing to do with me being a straight masculine macho man, okay?
I see.
No, I had nothing to do with that.
The single ladies out there, he's taken, so can't have them.
Yeah.
But yeah, is there any final take you want to have for gender representation in Asian society?
You know, I like the fact that I am a believer in traditional roles for both male and female, but I'm also know that, as you said earlier, the gender roles are not set in stone, and they can always be moved around because everybody's a different person, and I'm glad that anime has embraced that.
Yeah, and one aspect that I like is modern age doing new storytelling that's different, unique, but still keeping some tropes that I like, but throwing some that are totally unique on their own. So with that being said, gender representation in media as a whole has come a long way. But there is some aspects that's going to probably stay a little bit longer just because it basically pays. But that's just the entertainment. So do get that little nuance that probably will change. But things will change for the movement, the society, and different writers becoming more confident in their writing skills to be able to deliver a story that's different from that society. So that's also another embracing moment. There's the different writers, diverse backgrounds that's writing right now. That's going to play a role with gender representation.
Definitely will.
So with that being said, that concludes this episode of Gender Representation in Asian Society. Before we go, where can they find you again? Leslie.
You can find me sneaking through the woods at night trying to track down the werewolf because I'm a masculine man and want to test my manhood. Or you can just find me on any social media, Leslie Madewell, and you can find me on everything except for Snapchat because that's what losers use.
Exactly. Or you can find me following him, document his journey as he does the werewolf that he believes is going to be out there. So, I'll be documenting that, and then we'll have lots of fun. Hopefully, prove him wrong that it doesn't exist. But anyway, this concludes the episode. Thank you for being here, Leslie. And maybe you can ghost your way out of here from Snapchat. All right, guys. Bye.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.